to maybe the grossest movie we've reviewed on the podcast.
I hope so.
For everyone's sake here, I do too, because we're probably just going to tell the entire what happens in Men, so that many of you can know exactly what you're going to watch. If you want to go watch it, I've already had some people get mad at me because they saw my grade and they went and saw it and did not like what they saw. So this is take 184. We are the same. We have two special guests, Becky and Spencer, my wife, and then my movie companion, Spencer, as well. Fave things we watch, trailers, movie news, all sorts of stuff. Then we're going to talk about Men. And round it all off, we're going to give lists of the grossest / most unsettling / uncomfortable things we've ever seen in movies. And as you boys, we keeks, let's go with Spencer. Why don't you give us an update? Big life changes since you've been on the last time, I think.
Yeah, it's actually, I'm really grateful I get to be on this podcast so soon after my wife gave birth to a baby.
Is that part of your... Oh, that's right. This is the most appropriate one, I think.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, we have
the most experience out of any of us here.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We do have a little girl. Her name is Phoebe, and she's amazing. She's awesome. Today, actually, when she woke up, she was like in a good mood. And it was like the first morning where she recognized me and my wife and smiled at us. So I've been like on cloud nine all day.
Stop. You're going to make us like actually consider having
consider. Is how can you tell that?
Well, she doesn't, when her eyes are open, she just is kind of like looking at everything. I don't think she can focus very well, but like today I picked her up and she like looked at my face for longer than 2 seconds.
Oh.
Yeah.
And the light bulbs went off in her little eyeballs. Like, I know this guy. I've seen him around.
Mm-hmm. I've heard him around voice. Campus.
I've been too nervous to say hi, though. That kind of a thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
So what is the thing about fatherhood that you did not expect to feel or happen or notice?
Honestly, the most surprising thing is that this is not me trying to talk myself up, but it's come a lot more naturally than I expected. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I was having like, once we found out Leo was pregnant, I had like a total anxiety meltdown for a few months. Mm-hmm. And Phoebe showed up and I've been fine, which has been really nice. Probably 'cause I get to cuddle with a baby. That usually can help, so.
I would say you're more than fine. I would say you're excelling. I was saying before we started the podcast that Dad Spencer is my favorite Spencer.
It is your Instagram now that you have a child even better.
There are only two things that matter in my life, my baby and my movies. Nothing else matters, right? I guess Leah kind of matters. My job kind of matters.
You're roped in with the baby because genetics.
Yeah, exactly.
I have to read. Okay, so this is a post from Spencer 2 weeks ago on May 7th.
Wait, give the Instagram handle so the people can follow.
Sprank Derv, S-P as in Peter, R-E-N-C, D as in dog, E-R-V as in Victor. Phoebe is a month old tomorrow, which is insane. This picture is her explaining to me what to post for this special day. Phoebe's favorite movie is currently 2001 A Space Odyssey, followed closely by Boss Baby. Phoebe's favorite drink is Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew. Phoebe's favorite book is Crime and Punishment, with the Hungry Hungry Caterpillar coming in a close second. Her favorite planet is Mercury because it's closest to the sun. Her favorite Shakespeare work is Hamlet because she can relate to his obsession with his dad. And me and Becky talked about that post for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
That makes me feel good.
Very good.
We live for your content. So
it's true.
You're the only content creator we keep up on.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much.
Yeah. That we obsess over.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. And then it just reminds me of like on Twitter when people are like, my son just came in. and said, Dad, how did Donald Trump win the presidency? Our nation is ruined and he's 3 years old. What has our world come to? You know what I mean? Those ones, those are always my favorite.
Exactly.
But yours is actually Phoebe telling you that. So that's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Becky, how have you been?
Great.
We're not doing this at 11:30 at night, like that's the last
true.
One.
That's true. I sound a little more chipper, although I am getting a little sleepy. Sundays are days for naps, and this is my nap time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm doing great. I'm just living La Vida Loca next to my cute, sweet partner in crime, Kimiko Adcock. Formerly known as Keeks.
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. That's true. Mm-hmm.
That's what it says on like his driver's license and stuff, right?
It does. Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They let you do nicknames now. So it's just Keeks. That's it.
And the There's S is else. A dollar sign.
Yes. And the P's are three. Becky,
doesn't get cooler.
Deep cleaned the house yesterday. And our drawers on our dresser are not very good at staying closed. So she installed little magnet things on them to make sure they close all the way. It looks incredible. We're very
that is very cool with it.
Just yeah. Call me Tim Allen. I started watching
Deep Santa Claus. Right?
I started watching like cleaning videos because one was recommended to me, and I was like, oh, maybe like sure. And I watched it, and I was like, whatever. And then like. I kind of felt myself continually getting pulled back because like I was always that girl who just got extremely excited walking into Staples because of the stationery and the pens and just the organization options.
Said by a total professor, right?
I know, right?
I love it.
So yeah, watching these cleaning and organization videos ironically led me to, I've been trying to figure out, like I've worked my whole life towards getting a PhD, graduated, and now I'm having a midlife crisis of what do I work towards now? I never thought I'd get this far. Like I'm still alive. I still need to have goals. So I've been working on that. And I think because I've been paying so much attention to these organization videos, I was like, you know what? Maybe I just organize the whole house and it'll give me some like serotonin for a little bit and keep the crisis at bay. So yeah. Yeah, life's been great.
Did it work?
Oh yeah, yesterday I had a lot of serotonin, a lot of dopamine. Felt great.
Let's go.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Yeah.
My buddy Aaron with his girlfriend came over and we watched. I finished Severance with them. I'd already seen it, but they wanted to watch they were on the last four episodes. So I watched it, and all during that, Becky was just cleaning, going crazy. Which I did feel kind of bad, but Becky was also like, "No, I need to stay active because I just got to keep my mind busy."
I'll be right back. Mm.
And Dottie, our dog, is going crazy again. In my life, work is just pretty crazy. I have like 6 shoots in the next 3 weeks. I have 2 small ones this week, 2 medium-ish ones next week. And then like technically 2 on the same day in a week, but I'm gonna have to coordinate it with another producer. So yeah, work has just been wild, but I don't get the Sunday scaries anymore, which I really appreciate. At my last job, I was just
good.
Crippled with anxiety on Sunday nights. Now I don't get it at all. So it's very nice.
Dude, congrats.
Yeah.
Overcoming Sunday scaries is big.
Have you done that, or do you still feel them a little bit?
It totally depends on the time of year.
Oh,
so yeah. I don't really have them right now because it's the last week of school coming up.
Oh, what movie?
So are you I'm like. On? I haven't decided yet.
Men?
Halloween 3. No, I
don't. It has kids in it, so it could work.
So it's fine.
Yeah, it could be good.
But I get them when it's like, you know, middle of the semester, and I just don't want to go to work. I like my job, but they still hit hard sometimes.
Yes. I think it, no matter like what you're doing, you're still going to have days where you hate your job, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Unless like you're Martin Scorsese and you literally like can do whatever you want, whenever you want with hundreds of millions of dollars.
But even then you still hate it.
I think he loves movies so much that he never hates being on set.
I guarantee there are days when things go wrong and everything hits the fan and he's thinking, I hate this.
But
I guarantee.
But he doesn't have to solve those problems at this point. He's Martin Scorsese. He just tells other people to go take care of it.
But you're still stressing out about it.
When
I don't think so.
When do the box office numbers come out each week?
When do they? Probably. Yeah, like, I mean, you can probably.
Is it on Sunday?
I think.
Or is it maybe it's Monday because they wait for the weekend to end?
Do you wanna see? Do you wanna see?
No, I'm asking because I think he has the Sunday Scaries waiting for the box office numbers to come out.
Definitely.
Does he still at this point, though? Because, like, you know, Silence made $3 million at the box office, or it didn't, but it probably didn't make much money. And
well, he's probably, you know, he's like, oh, another Marvel movie's out.
Oh, that gives him the Sunday Scaries.
Yeah.
It's Wednesday night right before a Marvel movie is going to come out, those Thursday showings.
And, he sees how many people saw No Way Home in theaters again this week. And he's like, oh my gosh.
I'm surprised he's lived through all of these. Although I think he is seeing the writing on the wall and he's like, I was right. Everyone, I was right. And he was right.
And he wasn't even that mean about it.
No.
I totally get where he's coming from. Said,
but
yeah.
Movie news / trailers. The trailer that I really liked was for Makoto Shinkai's new movie. He did Your Name and Weathering With You. It comes out through Crunchyroll in January of next year, 2023. The title's in Japanese, so I forget what it's called. But it looks very good. It should be very good.
Yeah.
And then my movie news, you don't have to have one or the other, but the trailer for the Makoto Shinkai movie, I remembered last minute. For our good friend Chris Stuckman, his movie, the cast has come out. And notable name from it is Keith David is going to be Shelby Oaks. I know.
He makes every movie better, so.
He does. Even if he's, like, you can't see his face, his voice alone makes it better.
He's got an all-time voice.
Yeah. I'm going to pull it up real quick.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Voice of the president on Rick and Morty.
That would not have been my first.
What would have been yours?
I'm trying to visualize
him. Well, now that I think about it, I just know who he is, and I don't even know what
he's in the role thing.
I would say.
But here's the cast: Camille Sullivan from Hunter Hunter. So I'm curious if she was the voice actress. Yeah. Oh. Brendan Sexton from Don't Breathe 2. Michael Beach from If Beale Street Could Talk. Robin Bartlett, who I'm pretty sure plays the really thinning haired lady that like does the shh to Leo's character in Shutter Island. Keith David, the Thing, Charlie Talbert from The Big Short, Emily Bennett from Alone with You, and newcomer Sarah Dern from Where the Crawdads Sing is in it as well.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so proud of him.
Good job, Chris.
His Discord for if you backed him on Kickstarter and stuff, he's been putting out a lot of behind the scenes information. And Sweet Movie Morsel, for extra work, you have to pay an extra more if the director gives them direction, which is why you have an assistant director on set so they can tell them what to tell the extras. That way you don't have to pay them featured actor rates for the day, especially if you're on a smaller-ish budget. That's what you're supposed to do. I did not know that.
Okay. I didn't know that either.
Mm-hmm. It's $500 a day to be an extra in the in the movie, but if director gives them direction, it's $4,000 a day. So, saves you a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And that's it. Spencer, any trailer, any movie news, anything that you liked in the movie sphere this week?
Yeah, so I watched the trailer right before this because I just saw it. George Miller's new movie.
Oh my gosh, finally yes.
Coming out this year. 3,000 Years of Longing. It looks nuts. We got Idris Elba as a genie that has been discovered by I forgot.
Tilda Swinton.
Thank you. Tilda Swinton. It's like those two in any movie, it's like, oh, we got to be there. But then it looks just insane in every way. It has like the craziness of some Mad Max, it looks like. So I'm very excited.
Yes. Very signature directing style.
Mm-hmm.
It's very crazy that Everything Everywhere All at Once came out this year. and we're like still have like 8 months left, and there could be movies better than that that we still haven't seen yet, which is insane. Cannes, I think, is this week, so stuff's gonna slowly start coming out for the movies premiering at Cannes. So who knows? Bibi, anything that? What do you think? Anything?
The trailer for Don't Worry, Baby.
Don't worry, darling. Yeah.
That looks so good. That is going to be a very, very fun experience.
Fun is definitely maybe not the word I would have used, but
I know I think it's right.
Fun for you guys.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
I always use fun, but I always use it wrong. So basically, if I say fun, you probably
it's completely subjective, right?
That's true. That's true.
Like what you like, Becky.
Yes, thank you.
Sometimes I try to keep that, but sometimes, you know, sometimes you fail a little bit in staying to the motto of like what you like.
Oh yeah.
But we're trying. Olivia Wilde, for having this was only her second movie. Very, very good looking movie.
Very talented.
Already from the trailer.
Dude, she's got Harry Styles and I keep blanking on. Yeah, Florence Pugh as her lead couple. Mm-hmm. I don't really know how you can go wrong.
No. Mm-mm. Especially Florence.
Oh yeah.
Absolute star.
So. I heard she was amazing in Black Widow. No, I haven't seen it.
Her accent was impressive.
Yes, the only one that really... Oh, no, the other ones do an accent, but I love how Scarlett Johansson just hasn't tried. And
nope. Dude, remember how Scarlet Witch was Russian at one point?
And still wavers with it. Sometimes she still goes back to it. In Doctor Strange, she would like pronounce some words with a little bit of a Russian accent. And I was like, what are we going for here?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe she still has that backstory and is like, although I've mostly shed the accent, it still comes out every once in a while. Like, I don't know what the backstory is in her mind, but clearly there is one.
There'll be like a 6-episode Disney Plus series about it eventually.
I'm cool with that.
We talked about Last Take. I don't need any more of these. They had another trailer for that She-Hulk series. I don't need the series anymore. I just give me the movies. Give me the movies.
No, dude, you got to have Marvel content 24/7 or else people will forget about it and not spend money on it. Okay.
That is what happens.
That's what I want for Star Wars, which Kenobi this week. I'm very excited. First 2 episodes.
Is there a reason why, for those of us who know very little about movies, film, the whole shebang, is there a reason why Marvel would want to do TV series in addition to doing movies? Like, is it less expensive to do TVs or like what is the thought there?
Here's my theory as a noted Marvel hater. They know that if they're constantly pumping out content, which they can't do more than like 4 or 5 movies a year, that's just not gonna work. Mm-hmm. But they can drop these series between the movies, then they get people to talk about whatever the next thing is. And no one's spending time actually deciding if what they're producing now is any good.
Mm.
So it's like, we're now at the point where it's like, I didn't love Black Widow, but I love Loki, so it's fine. And then suddenly there's another movie and then it's just never ending.
That's a good point. Is it's like, well, I didn't like 5 of these, but there was one that I did like. And so that, you know, and that's how I've always said about the movies is like for every Thor Ragnarok, you get Black Widow, you get Thor 1 and 2, you get Captain America 1, like it's just meh, but it keeps those 1 or 2 characters that you really like. And so favorite thing we watched, we started Succession and Righteous Gemstones.
Yeah,
2 heavy hitters.
Yes. We got 1 episode through in Succession and we're like 6 episodes into Righteous Gemstones.
Mm-hmm.
And we've liked both of them a lot. Like they're both very different shows, but Righteous Gemstones has been funny.
Yeah.
I know you had talked a lot about it. So it was kind of like, okay, yeah, let's give it a watch.
Oh, it's so funny. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's very good. Do you have anything you watched besides that?
last Sunday when you were gone in Vegas, I watched most of the Marilyn Monroe, like, I don't know if it's documentary or what they're calling it, but on Netflix. Mm. I watched most of it. I don't really care. I mean, I could watch the end, but like, it's one of those where like, I was either going to power through and watch the whole thing or like, now it's just, you know, whatever. So, but I mean, it was good. It was fun. I didn't know a lot about Marilyn Monroe other than she's like absolutely beautiful and iconic and all that sort of stuff. But they went into her background, like how she got to be as big as she is, like all of these really cool things. And I was like, you go, girl. Like, I like you way more now. So cool. That was fun. Yeah.
There's that movie with Ana de Armas where she's going to play Marilyn Monroe that apparently has an NC-17 rating and they are not wavering from it. And I think it's going to be a Netflix movie as well.
So what makes something get an NC-17? Is it just penetration on screen?
Sex stuff.
But there's like
and I think violence. I think
wherever there's like a line, and then men showed us where the line was.
but where was the line? Like
I don't know.
Needed to be added to men to get an NC-17 is what I want to know.
So let's see.
I'm not gonna think about it.
You've gone far enough this week. Time for a cleanse.
Yeah, I'm trying to kind of get a gauge for like what the classification is. I know that Taxi Driver was originally going to be NC-17 because of the color of the blood, and Martin Scorsese, like, it was like a 2 days or something before, like, kind of like the deadline, it was the last thing, and he went in and in post turned down the contrast of the red, and it passed the NC-17 and got an R rating.
I think that tells you how scientific it all is, and that it's not at all. I think it's completely subjective and the line keeps changing.
Yeah. I think NC-17 is generally like the adult. It's like the sex stuff is way more graphic, and then violence is much more graphic.
So is Game of Thrones NC-17?
I think maybe you'd classify it more than, I don't know. I don't know though.
That's a good question.
That what I don't understand is, like, I feel like our movies, like, can show a whole lot. So I'm wondering, like, what's being held back for NC-17 that, like, is, like, but, yeah. So, like, I'm just trying to get a gauge, and I can't,
to be honest,
imagine what it is.
They hardly ever come out anyway, so yeah. It's just nothing new.
Yeah, because getting that rating is, like, you're not making any money.
Nope.
So you just... people don't do it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's, let's see, I could,
what's
even
the
see.
Most recent,
most wasn't
recent?
There, yeah, that wasn't there, that trend of, like, I don't know if they still do it, when people still bought DVDs and they would do like the unrated versions of comedies and stuff, but it wasn't unrated, it just had some more dirty jokes that would have been in an R-rated movie anyway.
Yeah, I don't know what that stuff is too, but I wonder if that's because it's like a bonus, like a DVD, then that makes it different.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't release an unrated cut, I guess. Because there's a bunch of stuff that's originally rated NC-17 that, like,
Midsommar
ends up changing. Yeah, so like Cars
3,
Jude, Kingsman, Cars 3, Finding Dory. Those movies. Yeah, those movies. So the handful that end up getting released, so not really anything you got to worry about. Spencer, what did you enjoy? What did you watch?
Nothing new. I've been doing a Pixar marathon while.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, you got to tell everyone about that.
So I've been going through all of them. I've seen almost all of them except some of the Cars, because they're the worst ones. So
I take that back. Yes. Cars 1 is a masterpiece.
Whew, I have it last, so I disagree. I've been an avowed Cars hater ever since it came out. I was really into Pixar growing up, and Cars came out, and I remember, like, that's the moment when I became film Joker. Was like, I hate movies. I'm going to be annoying about it forever, like all that stuff. So I'll just tell you my top. What?
What were you, like, 8?
A little older, but basically.
We had to have been like 13, 14.
I think I was in middle school. So yeah. So I'm only up. I just watched Cars 3 today, which was surprisingly decent. I didn't hate it. So I haven't watched all of them yet. I've seen them all, but I've been rewatching them as I rank. My top five right now, at five, I have Inside Out, which I love even more because I teach psychology in high school and we reference it a lot. And then Finding Nemo at four, Toy Story at three, Incredibles at two, and Up at one. I don't think Up's going to move. I'm a big
Up
fan. So of all the movies left, Coco is next. That's the only one I could see breaking the top five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Soul.
But it's been
I think if I were to like give Soul another watch, and I don't know though, that top five, because we were talking about it in our group chat, and I think my top five is more or less, it's like Incredibles, Up, Coco, Toy Story, Toy Story 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, I need to hear Becky's, because she seems very frustrated with us right now.
No, I'm just trying to think of what Pixar movies are. Like, like is Lion King a Pixar movie?
Nope.
No.
Okay. So we recently watched Inside Out. I'd never seen it before, but we watched it because my therapist gave it to me as homework.
Oh my gosh, yes. That's why it's great.
Yeah, I mean, like, it was, I love the concept, and our kids are definitely watching it because I think that it's fantastic. But like, I don't know. I'm not a huge Pixar person, I guess. Like,
that's okay.
Like all of those movies that you named, I'm like, they're fine, but like, I would never willingly want to watch them.
Would you say you're more of like a Disney animation? Like what kind of animation studio would you say is more your thing?
Which one's Cloudy with the Chance of Meatballs?
Sony, technically.
Sony's so solid.
I guess I'm a Sony person.
That's funny. Cause like Cloudy with the Chance of Meatballs is, it's like that and Spider-Verse and Mitchells versus the Machines.
Which are all insane.
They're all really good movies.
Yes. That's a
really
good point. But I wouldn't know what any other Sony animation movies are.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't either. But like, I'm not really a Disney person. It's fine, but it's whatever. Like Lion King will forever be my number one animated movie.
Good choice.
But then, yeah, otherwise I don't really care for Pixar, because Pixar is one of those where like they make you feel emotions, and I'm just not interested in that. Like I'm not about it.
Who needs those?
Not me.
Yeah.
I mean, men made me feel emotions too.
That's true. Just,
good ones.
They're just ones I don't want to feel.
That's a good segue. Does anyone else have any other watches they want to talk about? Or because we'll just dive right into this one.
Oh yeah.
Just as a heads up to everyone listening, it's going to be a spoiler review. Like, just like, I don't think many of you are going to watch it, but we'll give you a little bit of more of a heads up of when we go into spoilers, because Men is written and directed by Alex Garland, who wrote and directed Devs, Annihilation, Ex Machina are his past projects. And it's about a woman who is recovering over the divorce and death from her husband, and she secludes herself to this remote town in the country of England, and she starts to interact with the people of the town and gets like sinister, I don't know, I guess events that continue to happen to her, and she's replaying the last moments of her husband's life in her head. First thing that I have said, and I've said this, and I just did another Letterboxd review, I want to say this is the first new release this year that I've seen twice in theaters. I saw it 2 days in a row because I just couldn't wait to see it with other people so they could react. Spencer, I'll have to show you pictures of I took pictures of Becky and our friends, Jake, the Jakes, as we were watching it. And this is what I have to say about Men. Basically, here's my review. One of my reviews from Letterboxd. It is the best movie to show your friend, your family, and or friends that you're looking to cut out of the rest of your life, because they'll never want to talk to you after seeing this. Spencer and Nick passed the test. We went and saw it opening night, because it is, first two acts are genuinely terrifying, very atmospheric, very interesting, a little gross, but not like the last act, basically.
Nothing is like the last
act. But the imagery is really good. Like, I think the direction's solid. The cinematography looks great. A lot of the editing, I thought, made the movie is paced extremely well. Mm-hmm. Not to mention, it's only like an hour and 40 minutes long.
Mm-hmm. Thank
you. So when you think about that, the movie's great. It's when we start heading into the third act that we'll talk about a little bit later, where it goes off the rails, and that's when people are really going to determine if they liked it or didn't like it. But Spencer, what did you think? What did you think of Men?
So I looked over at Kimiko during the third act, and I said, I'm not paying him back for the ticket. So I during that third act, like, I wasn't really considering it, but it's the first time I've ever been to a movie where the thought did pass my mind, you could just walk out right now. You don't have to finish this movie. And it crossed my mind, but I
still. That's a really good.
That's amazing.
That's a good point. I didn't even think about it, but I could see everyone else would think about it.
Yeah. And it's not that I wouldn't say I was offended. I was grossed out. And technically, it's very well made. I really enjoyed the first half. I was like all in until I wasn't anymore. And I've done a lot of reading on it and stuff. And it's like, I can respect the craft and the work that went into this. Like, it's its own thing. And I preach that all movies should be their own thing. So I can't complain too much, but I don't want that thing. It seemed like, I think it was trying to be provocative in a way that didn't really work for me.
Yeah.
At the end.
You're not a lady.
Well, I was going to talk about that, because this is something that's really been bothering me. So, like, it's called Men. The bad guys are men. Like, it's about how men can be toxic and stuff, which is a fantastic thing to make a movie about.
Written by a man.
And that's the thing, though, is it's written and directed by a dude. And I was like watching it, I was a little bit like, I don't know what the appropriate response for me is. And also, is this the person that should make this movie a little bit? I kind of was a little torn about that, because it's like, it's almost like watching someone trying to come to terms with being a man and how men suck and how they don't have to deal with things that women do. And so then I'm like, should I appreciate it more then? Cause I'm another dude that hasn't been through all that stuff. I don't know. So I have very mixed feelings all around. I could talk about it quite a bit, but I never want to see anything from it ever again.
Okay. But what about the first half? That was some of the most beautiful cinematography I have ever seen.
Yes. Agreed.
The attention to detail was unparalleled, like, and the detail flowed so seamlessly with what emotions were trying to, like, and what the story was going on. Like, watching the first half, I was in awe at how well all of those little details and awe-inspiring moments were captured.
The colors and stuff were.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
I don't know. I
really like.
Like, yeah, a lot of water and drops in the water. I don't really know what that meant.
I really like Alex Garland's like visual style. If the movie ended with her at that one point when she tries to leave and then she just left, I think I would have liked it decently, but then it would be too short. I don't know. Because I feel like that's a very specific turning point in the whole movie, where it goes from being cool and interesting to, I feel like I've been talking too much. I want you guys to rave about it now.
Well, so Becky, like, from, you know, from a lady's perspective,
yeah,
the fact that this movie is written, directed by a dude, and from the female perspective, is what are your thoughts on that and of just the whole idea of the movie itself?
So I love the idea of the movie itself. I think that it's very artistic. I think that there's a lot of feminist movies out there, and not all of them are as like artistic and well made as this one. But it does kind of bother me, because it's kind of the same thing as Survivor and what we talked about with Survivor, where there was the whole come on in guys thing. And all of the women were like, yeah, I'm fine with you saying guys, it's a neutral term, whatever. And then it's a man who speaks up and says, yeah, I'm not comfortable with it. I was like, okay, so we're just doing the same thing again in a different way. Like, all right. And so with this, like, it is kind of like, it's a really cool idea. And I get that he wrote it and he wanted to direct it and he wanted to do it, but it just like, it just kind of sucks that it wasn't a woman who came up with the idea and did it. Cause I think it would have been like a lot more powerful. Had it come from someone who actually has like lived in the perspective of dealing with all of these toxic figures. So yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. Cause like I was thinking about the ending. I know we're not going to worry about spoilers and stuff. So when all of the birthing stuff happens, something that struck me is like the main character's reactions to things are very like, she's just kind of like whatever at that point.
Yeah.
Which surprised me. She's not afraid anymore. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, it's because she's witnessing stuff that's very normal for women to have to think about and deal with, while this man is like writhing in pain, blah, 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 or whatever. Right.
Yeah.
So she's kind of like, whatever, you know, it's like, she's over it. She got the point. But because it was made by a dude, it's like all of these things that wouldn't be as horrifying to the women, they're focused on being horrifying to men. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah. I can totally see that. Cause also what I was thinking was like, it's along a very similar vein of what you're thinking, but like women have had to put up with like really terrible situations for such a long time, and like having their judgment questioned, having like literally being treated differently from men. Like, it's unquestionable all of the things that women have to go through. And there comes a point where you kind of, as a woman, are just like numb to it and kind of are just like, whatever, it's happening again. I know it's going to happen again. So like, almost to me, like all of the visual representation of like kind of this toxic masculinity that's passed down and passed down and passed down and passed down, like she's all watching it and like, yeah, I already know this, like next, you know, like it just kind of,
surprise me with something.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, it's coming out of his mouth now. Yeah, that doesn't change anything.
No.
Oh, feet first. No. Yeah, that happens. That happens. So I think like the biggest thing is, you know, when she first gets to the cottage, she eats an apple from the tree, which is very clearly Eve eating the apple. And because of the whole like Eve eating the apple in the Bible, she's often blamed for like the fall of man and for all of the mistakes. And men through years and generations have blamed her, when in the end, it ended up being a very necessary thing that needed to happen. And like, you know, Christian theology. So that was a big part of it, is like constantly men blaming her for the death of her husband when it was not her fault. Yeah. Her husband was a garbage dude, punched her in the face in the movie. Yeah. And that's when she breaks. I was like, get out of the house. I never want to see you again, which very normal reaction.
Yeah.
And the priest is like, men hit people just because he hit, like, it's not a good thing, but it happens. It's not a capital offense, alluding to the, oh, he killed himself afterwards and it's your fault.
Yeah.
And then a very interesting thing is there's a common like symbol of the green man, and is a legendary being primarily interpreted as a symbol of rebirth, representing the cycle of new growth that occurs every spring. The movie occurs during the springtime, which is why you see this green man in the church, and why the naked dude like slowly becomes the green man and is the rebirth of like this toxic masculinity through ages and ages, that she then, using the hatchet, you don't see it on screen, but when her husband dies, his hand gets split by this metal rail, he breaks his ankle, his insides were crushed, which I'm like, doesn't that happen to every woman during pregnancy? So it's like these little things that he experienced that women just go through whenever they give birth. And then you can see he has a gash in his head from hitting the fence. And at the end of the movie, when her husband is birthed and is like, look what you did to me, he's missing the gash in his head, and she grabs the axe. And I think off screen, she kills him and chops his head off. as like a cutting, you know, taking an end to like this rebirth of misogyny, mm-hmm. and being able to like finally come to terms with, it's not my fault. What happened didn't need to happen, or what happened. It's not my fault, and I can keep living my life. And that's when her friend or sister comes, who's actually pregnant, like a normal, like beautiful thing is presented as like this new life that's going to be given to mm-hmm. be able to start like a new, you know, like a new generation. Yeah. I think it's a movie that like, if you go into it, you know, understanding that, like we said, this is the big spoiler thing. There are four grotesque births from a man where a vagina grows first from like under their penis.
Yeah.
And the next from the belly button, and the next from like at the top of their back. And then finally from the mouth, the husband is birthed. And
feet first.
It's very grotesque and gross. But now that we've kind of given context of what it means, maybe you can go in and understand, okay, this is going to be gross, but there's meaning to it. Even if it doesn't land for everyone, you can at least understand, okay, this is kind of what he was trying to go for.
Yeah. I appreciate the theming, not necessarily the execution.
Yes. I think that's a great way to put it.
Yeah. And I think another thing that I did kind of appreciate too is like, obviously nothing is her fault.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I feel like part of her journey in the movie is kind of like allowing herself to accept that some people are looking at it that way, I guess, because like she knows she didn't, it's not her fault. We all know that, but it's like, she kind of had to come to terms with the what if of like, what if it is my fault? She actually had to sit and consider it for a minute and reason with herself that it wasn't, because it kind of portrayed it before that, like she was sort of running away from the problem and not really going through it. And like,
oh, interesting. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
And so part of it was accepting the trauma of witnessing that and being abused by him, but also actually thinking about whether it was her fault and understanding it wasn't.
Yeah.
Very, very cool score in the whole movie as well. It incorporates her like echoes of her like singing in the tunnel. It has this very like these Latin chants and stuff, like Gregorian chants. I love the music that went along with it. I thought it really helped like amplify mm-hmm. the mood. And Alex Garland does a very good thing where he utilizes, once like a certain event happens where she realizes like this man is like somewhat followed her in the first time you see him. Every time after that, like you're never safe in the entire environment, which I think shows that like she is in this house, in this home, but like doesn't feel totally safe. And maybe something that a lot of women deal with.
100%.
Also, very creepy, uncanny valley de-aging stuff going on, which worked well for the character. Essentially, the man in the movie is the same man in the entire thing, just with different face, just different makeup and different presentations of the self. So Rory Kinnear, great job.
Yeah.
Very interesting job.
No offense whatsoever to Rory Kinnear, because he's really good. Mm-hmm. But I feel like part of the reason they wanted him is because every version of himself looks a little silly in the movie.
Yeah.
Like he's got his long hair as the priest. It looks ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When he's a little kid and his face looks super weird, they obviously wanted it to look weird.
Yeah. You know?
But then when she's in the bar and there's like 50 Rorys and some of them have like goatees and stuff, you're just like cracking up because they all look so silly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or the Amish beard looking dude. And
yeah. Uh-huh. Exactly.
Yeah. And also, yeah, I mean, overall, my grade for it is an A-, definitely sour. Because Spencer had a good, like Spencer was like, is it spoiled? And I'm like, I don't know, like maybe it is spoiled, just because like who the heck are you recommending this to? But at the same time, for me, like I know who I would recommend it to. It's not a lot, and maybe I just recommended it to the people that I saw it on Friday, and those are the only ones. But this could be a borderline spoiled, a very high grade, but just like I don't know who I would tell to go watch this. Maybe, what do you think?
I give it an A+. I thought it was amazing.
Do you think women would like it?
No.
Okay.
I think they would like the first half. No, and I think it takes a very distinct weird kind of ability to appreciate it. But I just, the way that I look at it is like, if you look at paintings throughout all of like the ages, there's been some pretty wild things depicted in art. And there's been some like very interesting ways of like showing kind of these themes and these motifs visually. And I think that this is just that next step. I would say that this movie, I've said this previously on the podcast, but I see this movie as a work of art. I don't see it as something that you're going to looking for entertainment, like most movies nowadays. I think you're going to this to really like feel the emotions that the artist wants you to feel and experience in, rather than just a still painting, you're experiencing those emotions like in moving. And really throughout most of the movie, there were frames where it would linger for a little while on, you know, like a dandelion or water, so, you know, something very specific. And it was clear that this is art. This is finding beauty in all of these things. And so that's why I would say it's an A+. I would also say it's sour, because you going into it, like most people are going to need to know going into it what it is. Kiko didn't tell me. He just told me like, it's going to be grotesque. I didn't know what it was about. I had no clue. Like I'd never seen the trailer. I knew nothing about what it was going to be about going into it. And I loved it. And it was great for me that way. But I do not think that that is how the vast majority of people should see it. I think that the vast majority of people should know what they're going in to see, should know that they're going in to see art. They're not going in to like see something that's entertaining them.
I totally agree. That's why I don't even want to give it a grade, because yeah. I feel like it's beyond that. It's easy to say, well, was the movie entertaining or not, right? But we're beyond that with this one. So it's really hard for me to give a value to. Mm-hmm. If I was going to say it was, I mean, I think it's spoiled, but yeah. I would also say like, if you really want to see like an attempt at true art through film,
yeah,
then I would say, one time in elementary school, I had a warhead competition where me and this other kid were competing over who could put the most warheads into our mouth at once. That's how sour it is, if we're going to say it's sour.
That's how amazing. Many did you fit?
It was like 8 or 9, but then the other kid did 10 and almost passed out. So.
Wow. So this is the 10 warhead challenge.
Yeah, this is if we're gonna call it sour, which I'm questionable on, then it is 10 warheads worth of sour.
Yeah,
amazing.
I think so. I think it's right there between spoiled and sour. But if you understand, like we've told you what the movie is, if you're still interested, you should definitely go see it.
Yeah,
because at this point, like you're probably going to get something good out of it.
Well, and I think something to add is it like, yes, there's a lot of nudity in this movie for those who are true. Uncomfortable with nudity. You see the man in the very beginning that ends up being this recurring figure is naked, like every time you see him, like full blown frontal.
Yeah, and men are gross.
Yeah. And then with these birds, as mentioned, like you literally see like the like I'm
vaginal
not yeah I was birth. Gonna say I'm not gonna go into all of the details, but like anatomically wise, like you see everything like appear and then the birth begin, and it's just flat out right in front of you. And all of those things, like I think that a lot of times we kind of like nudity gets a bad name just because sex is always taboo. It's not something that you talk about, you know, like whatever, but like this is a piece of art. This is artistic. Our bodies are not innately bad. Our bodies are not innately like, you know, being
objects or sexual.
Yeah. They're not sexual, like they're bodies. And so I think that that's one of the really beautiful things that this movie does well is there's a lot of nudity, but it's none of it is sexual in any way, shape or form, unless you're into some of the stuff that's there, which is great, but
you're really into Rory, I guess.
Yeah. You're really into Rory.
Sex symbol Rory. Yeah.
But like, it's not purposefully sexualized in any way, shape or form.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think my big comparison I was telling Kimiko after is the movie I'd compare it to is The Green Knight last year, which I also really enjoyed listening to Becky talk about, which is smart. So where watching The Green Knight, it was like, this movie is difficult and it's not made to please anyone. Mm-hmm. It's an artistic vision and they're doing what they want. Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to go there with them, it's fine. Just don't like it.
Which is funny because The Green Knight is just another iteration of the Green Man who's in this movie.
Yeah, this is a prequel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Green Knight is a prequel to
you
Men.
Said that. I remember you saying that. And as a side thing, you know, to wrap it all up, Spencer, you told me this before is ratings are for children. So you're an adult. All of you listening most likely are adults. You can just determine this if you want to go see it or not. Like, like our ratings doesn't mean anything for us because we can do and consume whatever we want. So do what you want. See it if you want. Don't see it if you want. Some grotesque things in movies. I'm going to give a few. Last year we saw Titan.
Oh my, yeah.
That was harder to watch, I think, than this. Like that. This had like the last bit was hard, but that whole, all of Titan was very hard to watch. She has intercourse with a car and becomes pregnant by the car.
Yeah.
And births a metallic humanoid child at the end of the movie. And that was very hard to watch.
It was really hard to watch.
Yep. Yeah. Probably, I think harder than this, I think.
Also, you guys said it was really good. Right.
It was really good. It was beautiful.
It actually was very emotional. Like it was a very good movie.
I will take your word for it.
Yeah, it was hard to watch.
Yep. let's see what else. Tusk. The final form of Justin Long's character in Tusk. One of the grossest pieces of prosthetics I've ever seen. For me, weirdly enough, another thing was Gary's Game. The short before A Bug's Life where the man plays chess against himself. That for me is like a 6-year-old boy scared me to death. I literally couldn't watch A Bug's Life till I was like 14. We had to watch it in Spanish class and I was too shy to like say, I hate the short. Can we skip it? So like by like, what is it? Like, what is it? What's that therapy? Immersion therapy or whatever. What is it called? Exposure therapy?
Yes, yeah, exposure therapy.
I watched it and I was like, I still hate it, but I watched it. So those are some things for me that I have hated seeing in a movie.
Amazing. You're just ageist.
Right? That's what it is.
Old people.
Yeah. Spencer, what are some of yours?
I'll go quick. I made a list. First things first, I got Aragog's the Harry Potter one. What's the spider's name in Lord of the Rings?
Oh my, yeah.
Shelob. Hate it. I haven't seen those movies in forever, but I know I'll close my eyes when I get to that part.
Yep.
Anything with spiders is a big no for me. So yeah. I also will never, I love Denny, but I'll never watch Enemy because I know there's lots of spiders in it. So I'm going to pass
on. There's
just
one, actually. There's not like a lot of them.
Yeah, but it's really memorable from what I said.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah. So not watching that. There's in Peter Jackson's King Kong, and also in Prometheus, there are moments where there are worm / snake-like creatures that crawl into people's mouths. That's a big no for me. When I was young, my mom loves the Salem's Lot, like 70s TV movie.
Oh, yeah.
And the whole story starts where a kid goes in the forest and gets caught by a vampire. And then later in the movie, he floats up to his brother's window and knocks on it. And he's got like a creepy vampire face. And I didn't sleep for a long time after seeing that. In Parasite, the stare moment.
Oh my gosh.
I still can't get over that. Like,
yeah,
my heart literally stopped for a minute. So, as I've said before, Hereditary works anyway, but I'm also allergic to peanuts. So that whole sequence was not fun.
My gosh.
And then maybe the most unexpected, kind of like you finished with, Ralph Breaks the Internet. At the end of the movie, Ralph has to fight like giant Ralph made of Ralphs. And the way that it moves makes me so uncomfortable. It like makes my skin crawl. I can't explain it, but it's like I can't watch it again. It's way too disturbing. Mm-mm. Too much like bugs on a guy or something.
Bibi, do you have
to sum it up, like bugs.
Oh yeah. Basically. Hate them.
Even Aragog in Chamber of Secrets is like a practical, like big spider, and it's gross.
Oh yeah. And then when the spiders are chasing him after, it's like, whoa.
And they die and their legs curl up. Ugh. Don't like it.
Yep.
So I can really only think of two movies where I was other than Teton, where I was like, wow, this is disgusting. The first one would be, what was the name of it? The Metal Man. What was the name of that? It was a Japanese movie.
Oh, Tetsuo the Iron Man. Yep. That whole movie.
Tetsuo the Iron Man. That whole movie for me was so hard to watch because it's basically this guy like putting, like he has a fetish with metal and he's like putting metal underneath his skin and like into his body. It's just, oh my gosh. That was,
I hate that
thinking
movie.
About it right now. It's so bad. I don't know movie. How we finished it.
When is he, when will he join the MCU? That's my question.
It's only 60 minutes long and it's the longest 60 minutes you'll ever experience.
I've definitely heard that name. I did not know that's what it was about. Yep. So now I know not to watch it.
Do not watch it.
No,
I cannot recommend that movie to anyone.
Nope. I only know one person that's seen it. It's my buddy Lucas. Shout out to Lucas, who like his letterbox is just filled with obscure like Japanese and foreign films.
I love that.
He's very brave.
He is.
Good for him.
He's very brave.
The second one that I can think of is Possessor. There is a scene in Possessor that I can't even remember all of the details because I have a horrible memory, but I remember being like, oh, that's a lot. And I don't often have that in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So
with Sean Bean's character where he gets the stake and like,
I don't remember.
There's a lot of it.
I just remember thinking that's a lot. Cause like even men, like I was like, wow, this is impressive. Like, this is not great, but like, it was nowhere near that level of just like your body is crunched up and you're so uncomfortable and you like think you're going to throw up. Like that kind of feeling rarely comes, but those are two where I can say that especially whatever the Metal Man, Tetsuo the Metal Man. Oh my,
that might take gosh. That was a horrible.
Ooh, that was
if
so
it's,
bad.
If it's on your guys's list, then I know I can't even think about it. So
no.
One more I wanted to add, I forgot about.
Oh yeah.
Jackass. Oh. Paper Cuts.
Oh.
Nope. I literally closed my eyes the entire scene. I was not watching it.
Nope. Is that Jackass 2 or 1?
I think it's the first one.
I think so.
Or the one with the tarantula crawling in the tubes.
Oh, definitely wasn't watching that either.
No.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Just so everyone knows, Jackass 4.5 is on Netflix right now.
Yeah, out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I gotta watch it.
Weird it's not on Paramount Plus. I don't know how that works. I don't know.
Paramount Plus is a mess. The licensing is all over the place.
Yeah.
Everyone tells me to watch Yellowstone, but it's on Peacock.
Oh, like, what?
I know.
That's so weird. That's so weird. And it airs on the Paramount Network on TV.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So stupid. I think that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. This is probably our darkest take, I think.
Like, word.
By far. Thanks for coming on, Spencer and Becky. Spencer. This was very appropriate. Big horror guy. Just kidding, Spencer. next time we're going to talk about Top Gun Maverick, which everyone, it's getting very good reviews. Crazy that a Tom Cruise movie is getting good reviews. That guy is like, listen. Say what you want about Tom Cruise, and we will associate with a very horrible thing, but his movies just rock. The last really great, like actor, you know what I mean? He's just like does his own stunts and cool movies, and very excited to go see Top Gun Maverick.
According to Middle School Girls, the last great actor is actually Tom Holland.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Well, we need another Tom to take Tom's place.
It just passes down Tom to Tom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tom Hanks, Tom Cruise, Tom, who is another? Anyways, so that's going to be the next review is Top Gun Maverick.
Timothy Chalamet.
Timothy.
Anything else before we go? Anyone else?
No. It's a delight to be here.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you as always, Spencer. And for everyone, stay sweet.
Sweet.